Okay, a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 26 April 2020. We are going to have our Unicode sharing. So before we continue from where we stopped, we were at page 18 last time. So today we will start off with page 19, Unicode 68. But before that, we will have our puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhana, then virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pujan. Padang Pujami. Namang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, y'all can be seated. We will now continue with our unique Dhamma code sharing. For the benefit of those who maybe just join in or share, learn to share this particular session, I will repeat what I earlier mentioned. This unique Dhamma code is a new book printed by us. It is a very good book based on all the various unique Dhamma code that I have given, and Sister Amy has helped us organize them into 161 code, unique code. And I went through it, edited it, and compiled it into a book. And this particular book is very useful for meditator and cultivator because it points direct to the true mind. And give you a lot of understanding of what meditation is, what is the meaning of the true mind, the true nature, and Nibbana. And also explain to you the two types of mind, their function, the five aggregates of form and mind, and how to develop the silent mind, the meditative mind, the daily mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. So all these are clearly explained inside there. If you go through it, develop the understanding of it, then it will help you to progress along the path of Dhamma very fast. Your meditation will improve and you can do it with understanding and you will progress very fast. So this is just as a important explanation, the background behind this sharing of the unique code. All these unique Dhamma code are very beautiful. They came straight from the heart. They were composed over the last 10 to 15 years by Kalyanamitas, especially Engi. Okay, now we will continue. Turn to page 19. Page 19, we will continue from unique code 68. We finished 67 the last Sunday. So unique code number 68. But without wisdom, your mind will stir with like and dislike, born of self-delusion. This like and dislike are mental hindrances, which will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. This is the reason why you are not peaceful. So as you know, the first two mental hindrances, they are sensual desire and ill will. So your like is your sensual desire, your dislike is your ill will and your aversion. Or sometimes people label it as pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. They are, in fact, the same mental hindrance. First two, sensual desire and ill will. So mental hindrance as defined by the word, when they arise, they will hinder the meditator or cultivator from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. That's the reason why you are not able to meditate, not peaceful, because of mental hindrance. And to overcome this mental hindrance, the Buddha's advice is don't fight them, don't suppress them, don't try to do anything with them. Just understand that they are there because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty. So the focus should be on the training of your spiritual faculties. When your spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya are developed, they will help you to root out the mental hindrance. So without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. Always remember that. So don't try to fight the mental hindrance. If you try to fight them, try to suppress them or control them or do all the funny thing in the name of meditation, means you don't have the understanding. You are being deluded. But when you have the understanding, You only need to focus your training or cultivation on the five spiritual faculties. When the spiritual faculties are developed, the mental hindrance ceases by itself. They are naturally rooted out because they cannot withstand the mental hindrance. And I have already went through them. So go back and read up the notes, understand them, and you will know how to develop the meditation. So I read again, unique quote number 68. The emphasis on, but without wisdom, your mind will stir with the mental hindrance of light and dislike. So you need wisdom. You need so manasikara, at least the initial wisdom, to allow you to have the stability of mind, not to stir. That one is initial wisdom, very important. That's why without uniso manasikara, you will react to sense experience. Your mind will stir. You cannot stop at feeling. You cannot cut at feeling. There is no way unless you have wisdom. That's why without wisdom, without uniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with sense experience. Straight away, it will condition you into negativity of mind state. That's why you will react, you will stir your mind and create mental hindrance. And mental hindrance, they are the result of self-delusion, sacrality, wrong thought, wrong view, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So this has to be understood before you develop the meditation. Otherwise, you will not benefit. You will not progress. Okay, then we move on to verse 69. This one is very useful. Verse 69 explains to you the mundane mind and the true mind. Understand that you have two minds and what are the functions of these two minds and how to realize the true mind. Because mundane mind has been following most people almost all the time. That they are hardly aware, hardly mindful. They are hardly able to recognize what their true mind is. Not to say to have the ability to realize it or to be with that true mind, that true nature. Very few people can have that understanding. Unless you meditate correctly with the right understanding, taught by somebody who has already realized it. So I will now go into it. Verse, unique quote number 69. Sing Wei Gen Ben. So this is a Mandarin saying. It means you have to start your cultivation from basic understanding of mind. Like the Buddha's explanation, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arises, all things arise. So this is the same expression, except in Mahayana term, they say you start with the basic understanding of mind. This is very important. All cultivation has to start from basic understanding of mind. First aspect is to understand that you have two minds, namely the mundane mind and the true mind. The true mind or the self nature within is the unborn, unconditioned, whereas the mundane mind is the thinking mind, which is conditioned arising within the conditioned world. So see this clearly. The thinking mind is your mundane mind. That mind is dependent originating condition arising with the aggregates. The second aspect of the five aggregates of forming mind. Then we move on to verse 70. Unique quote number 70. True mind does not stir. Always remember that. It is true suchness. Ruru puto. The meaning is, it is such. Such means ta-ta-ta, suchness. It is unconditioned. That's why it is zu-zu-putong. Zuru means suchness. Zuru Zuru means true suchness. No activity, no movement, nothing. No word, no name, nothing. Here is the unconditioned. You cannot label it, you cannot really express it or describe it. That thing is not what is being described. And after that, only the mundane mind stir via delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. 分别心, 凡心. So these are the various terminology given to the mundane mind. The mundane mind is the discriminative mind. It doesn't have wisdom. It discriminates. It creates duality of right and wrong, good and bad, like and dislike. So this is what the mundane mind is before it developed the wisdom and the awakening. So always remember, true mind is the unconditioned. Such true suchness. When the mundane mind sees, you can realize the true mind. When the mundane mind arises, your nature is being clouded by the thinking mind. So this thinking mind takes over and you are lost in thought. Unless you can maintain awareness within to see clearly the movement of the mundane mind. The awareness of thinking is very different from a thought that follow the previous thought. When you use a thought to perceive through memory or recollect through memory what has happened just now, that is not sati. That is not mindfulness. That is not awareness. That is another thought, watching another thought. That's why thought-based meditation is very deceiving. It may make you think that you are aware of thought. No. Like most people, when they say, I still have anger, I was able to see my anger. I was aware of my anger. What they say is not the real, true sense of awareness or mindfulness. When you are mindful of anger or fear, your awareness and that fear is one. That is the true one. But when the thought tells you that you are aware of anger, means you are not aware. Means your thought recall through memory or recollect through memory that you were angry earlier on. That is what thought-based meditation is. If you do that, you cannot understand. In fact, yesterday, I think Brother Gang from Klang, he asked me one question which is very good. Maybe I will share with you. His question goes this way. You wait for me, I read to you the actual wording so that you all can learn. Okay, you listen. He said, good evening, Gertrude. Hope that you are well and happy. If we notice that one mind is clearly aware of the thinking mind, what should we do to progress further? So a person who asks this type of question means he is not able to understand the true meaning of awareness. So my reply to him is very simple. Silence your mind to stabilize your daily mindfulness first. And don't try to know initially, because the real understanding can only arise via the direct seeing by itself after your daily mindfulness has stabilized. Otherwise, it's only your thought telling you that you are able to be aware of the thinking. So it's the thought, it's not the real thing. To progress further, you can also constantly listen to the true Dhamma, then reflect and contemplate deep into it to develop the first and second turning wisdom, leading to the arising of the initial wisdom of Yoniso Manasikara. Then I further advise him, I say, stability of daily mindfulness leading to Sati Sampajana, which is step 5 of Avijja Sutta, is the most important. So unless you have developed a very stable daily mindfulness, you cannot understand the true Dhamma. Yeah, the true Dhamma can only be understood or awakened to when your mindfulness has already stabilized. Otherwise, you don't have that sensitivity or ability to see the evil roots, to see the subtle defilement, to see clearly the way of the mundane mind, how you stir your mind, how you react, how you input your content of consciousness, how your memory is conditioned into what it is, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. Then you will come to understand acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then through all this understanding, you start to develop the straightening of you. Then you start to have the ability to apply the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation from right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then how you purify your thought process, action and speech via the 4 right effort, you can start to develop them. Otherwise you can't, without mindfulness, a very stable daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, you can't. Then you also need to understand the essential Dhamma through step 2, constantly listening to Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, develop the initial wisdom. Unless that one arises, your daily mindfulness, step 4, cannot arise. Yeah. Oh, sorry, step 5 cannot arise. Step 4 is the initial wisdom. Unless you do step 2, constantly listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, and inquire to develop the initial wisdom of first and second turning wisdom. They are Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya. So unless you do these two, the faith in the triple gem, the third step, cannot come to be. Then the natural consequence, the fourth step, which is Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, also cannot arise. So step 2 is very important. Develop more understanding of step 2. Constantly listening to the true Dhamma. Reflect, contemplate to stabilize your initial wisdom. Then from there, you move. So step 2 leading to step 3, step 4, then stabilize step 5, daily mindfulness. Unless you can do that, you can never be aware of your aggregates of mind. You can never be aware of feeling, emotion. Your emotion can be your fear, your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy. When they arise, silence your mind and be with it. Then silently observe. Don't try to know. Let the cessation happen. Cessation means that emotion that you are aware of, that is the third way that the Buddha teach. Just aware. Maintain awareness. There's a relax aware. Don't do anything. Then everything can be understood. Then you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then how they cease to be. Just through being aware, silent, finish. Then you will come to understand that all these emotions, your anger, your fear, your jealousy, your hatred, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation, they are conditioned arising, dependent originating. Without condition, they are not able to arise. Then after they arise, they need sustenance of condition. But the moment you're aware, you don't support it anymore with any further thinking or wrong thought or negative energy field. Then what happens? The very awareness is a purifying force. It will allow you to develop the awareness to see how the anger, the emotion, the fear, one by one, dissipate. When they dissipate means when there is no more condition, it ceases to be. Then you start to understand why the Buddha said, Sankara anicham, Sankara dukkham, Dhamma anatta. The universal characteristic of anicham, dukkham, anatta become very clear. That's how you insight into phenomena. That's how you develop the initial wisdom. That is how you are able to free your mind. So this is meditation. Eh? Okay? Then we go back to verse 70. Eh? We have finished 68, 69. So unique code 70. This one you have to listen. Eh? The true mind does not stir. That is the unconditioned. It cannot stir. So, true suchness or ruputo, only the mundane mind stir via delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. So always remember that. Fen bie sing in Mandarin. Fen bie means it discriminate and create duality. Duality leads to the two, yin and yang. So duality leads to conflict, misunderstanding, stirring of mind and all those things. If you have wisdom, you can develop the understanding to transcend duality. Then you will come to understand like winning. Duality is being created by the mundane mind through your own self-delusion, sakarity, ignorance. Without the ignorant or wrong view, there is no duality. The mind does not create reality and stuff. Just like Sun Tzu, he thought there is a wholesome state of mind. That's why he keep on maintaining mindfulness and polish until it shines so that no dust can arise. In the first place, who created that dust, that defilement? Sun Tzu himself. The moment you create a defilement, then you attach to non-defilement. Then you create this duality. As long as one is being created, the opposite will manifest. So how can you cease them? The only way to cease them is not to create any duality. Like the Buddha said, imas means sati, idang hoti. When this arises, when you create wholesome, then the opposite arise, unwholesome. So this pair of saying is very beautiful. Imas means sati idang hoti. Imas means asati idang ahoti. So when you create the one aspect of the duality, then the opposite, the other aspect, surface immediately. But if you don't create imas means asati, when this one ceases, that one automatically ceases. You don't have to do anything. Because when you understand defilement and non-defilement, or wholesome and unwholesome mind state are duality, then why do you create it? If you don't create, it ceases to be. But you live in the conditioned world. Duality exists where you are in the conditioned world. So when you have that wisdom, you know how to apply them within the conditioned world. Condition will recognize as reality. But when you have the wisdom born of the direct seeing, the true realization, then you can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment. Technically, there is no duality, no right, no wrong, no good, no bad. The thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. So the labeling comes from wrong view. Delusion, satiety. If you don't have wrong view, you will not labor, you will not create. You can accept the reality of the moment. That's why you are always at peace. And your mind does not stir. So this aspect of wisdom, right understanding is very important. Right? And we go back to verse 71. The second aspect of Sing Wei Genpeng is to understand that all mind states, whether wholesome or unwholesome, evil or non-evil, etc., they all arise when the mundane mind arises. This is basic understanding. So this is based on Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. The basic understanding of the mundane mind and the self nature, or the true mind, or the supramundane mind is very important. When you understand you have two minds, one is the mundane mind, which is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomenon within the conditioned world. The other one is when this mundane mind ceases, does not arise, then that true nature surfaces. In fact, that true mind, that true nature is always there. It's either whether you are aware of it or you are lost it. That's why you can only do one thing at a time as a human being. Either you are aware without thought, means you are with your true mind, the true nature. You are aware, present. Or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. You can never be at two places at any one time. But the mind moves very fast. You can be aware, then you can create thought and get yourself involved with their thinking. That's how they become heedless or simple. But you can maintain awareness and see the movement of thought. See how the mundane mind, through its conditioning, views, opinion, and whatever delusion, how it moves following the dwelling, the teacher Samopana. Yeah. You can see it. Before your wisdom completely stabilized, before you awaken, during that time, you can see the movement. That's how you come to understand that the mundane mind is the way it is because it doesn't have the right view, the right understanding. That's why you can accept people for what they are. Because deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. So you can see it in the meditation through direct seeing, direct mindfulness, observation of your own form and mind. You come to the understanding that when you understand yourself through self-knowledge, you can understand the world, you can understand others. That's why the Buddha say mindfulness of the kaya internally. And mindfulness of kaya externally, the four foundation of mindfulness. Then mindfulness of feeling internally and mindfulness of feeling externally. Similarly with citta, under the third foundation of citta, the vipassana, is content of consciousness. Where you can develop the awareness of content of consciousness of yourself, when you develop wisdom and understanding, you see yourself clearly. Then you can also see others externally, the content of consciousness. That's why mindfulness of content of consciousness is very important. Yeah. When there is anger, aware. Just aware, finish. Yeah. Then when anger ceases to be, when there is no more anger, also aware. Then you will come to know how the unarisen anger come to be. Then how the cessation of the arisen anger come to be. That is what Dhammanupassana is all about. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. Okay? The first category of cultivation of Dhammanupassana. So all this is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. When you are able to be mindful throughout the day, ever mindful through the stability of daily mindfulness, then you can see all this, you can understand all this. Then you can move on to step 8, which is mindfulness of the four foundation of mindfulness. Yeah. By then, you would have at least developed the ability to become a Sotapan or a Sakadagami. Yeah. Because for you to be able to move on to step eight, okay, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, you must have cleared step 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Especially 6 and 7. If you can move on to those steps, means you are at least a sotapanna or a sakadagami, first and second stage of sainthood. Because as you progress on to step 8, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha, towards the end of the sutta, clearly mentioned, you will at least become an anagami if there is still minor conceit, mana. Otherwise, you will become arahant straight away. Okay. That's how step 8 will lead to step 9, leading to step 10, which is enlightenment, making an anagami, realizing anagamiship and arahantaship. Okay, we will come back to the quote 71. Yeah, 71. I will finish the last line. Okay, so verse, unique quote 71, the last line, the last sentence of it. This basic understanding of the mundane mind and the self nature, or the true mind or super mundane mind, is very important. So see these two clearly. Okay? When you understand you have two mind, then to meditate is very simple. Means to meditate, you just have to apply the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. So when you do that, what happens? The mundane mind will slow down and finally cease, return to its original state before it's still. Then you realize the true mind. That's how you meditate. If you cannot realize your true mind, you cannot develop mindfulness. Your mind can never enter sati. Your daily mindfulness can never stabilize. That's why all of formal meditation is to realize that true mind, the silent mind without thought. The true mind is always tranquil, still, without any stirring or thought process, without any aggregates of mind. And because of that, the pure awareness is just the clarity. That's why you can see things as they are and awaken. You can insight into phenomena, but that is your true mind. So with that understanding, we move on. One must understand what these two minds are, so that one can understand clearly who are you and what are you. So this aspect of understanding is very useful. Eh? The Mandarin word Wunian Sichen Xing is a very good description of the true mind. So the meaning is, without thought, that is already your true mind. That's why I say when the mundane mind ceases to be, without thought, that is your true mind. You have to relax, maintain awareness until it ceases to realize the true mind. Then, Dong Nian Qi Wu Ming. Now, this one is also a very good description in Mandarin, in the Mahayana teaching. Dong Nian is movement of thought, or the arising of thought, is by the mundane mind. That's why it is self-delusion, born of self-delusion. So, Avijja Paccaya Sankhara is the equivalent version of the Buddha's explanation. So, under the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada, Avijja is ignorant. Because of Avijja, it conditions Sankhara, mental activity or thinking. That's why Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, Wu Ming Yan Xing. So, the moment you stir your mind, means you create Sankhara activity, means you have ignorance. Otherwise, you will not stir. You will not create that type of wrong thought or thinking. Okay? But when there is wisdom, you will not stir your mind. You use your mundane mind. You will know how to arise the right thought, leading to right speech, right action. Then you will know how to use thought. Then the user of thought that has the understanding or the wisdom connected to it, that one will give rise to right thought. And that one is beautiful. So thought is neither good or evil. It depends on the user. That's why you must develop right view, right understanding and wisdom before you can really use thought. Otherwise, most of the time, this thought that you use will go the wrong direction. It will not give rise to right thought. Maybe right according to the individual, not right according to nature's law. So see this and understand this. Then the third one is xing jing, quiet mind, or the silent mind, which is still. Xing is mind, jing is tranquility, stillness, quietness. So silent mind is the equivalent of xing jing. When your mind is silent, without thought, without verbalization and chattering, that is your true mind. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is the one that can develop the understanding and the awakening. So this verse 72 is very profound, very deep in its meaning. You can contemplate it, reflect into it, understand it. It can help you to develop the initial wisdom very fast. And when you have that, you will know how to meditate very easily. Then we move on to verse, unique quote 73. Now this one is also very beautiful. 73 is the self nature and the mundane mind. The two are very close to each other. When you go through that awareness-based meditation, you will understand what I say. You will understand this verse. You can't even understand that you have the self nature and everything arises from that self nature via creation by the mundane mind, which is dependent originating in condition arising, then you are being superficial in your cultivation and you are wasting your time. This is very important. If you cannot understand this, you cannot develop the meditation. You cannot awaken. So that self nature, if you silence your mind and stabilize that silence, then you will understand what that nature is. That nature is the unconditioned. When you are completely silent, tranquil and still, without thought, without activity, without movement. But most people are so curious about meditation and so conditioned to use the mundane mind, they can never realize this true mind, this self-nature. But what happens is when they are about to be very quiet, the thought arises very fast. Even when you are able to realize this true mind initially for a while, a glimpse, it's already very good. But most people cannot stabilize to stay there. They cannot stabilize that silence, that tranquility, that awareness. That's why they continue to create thinking and thought. That's why they lost the ability to realize that true mind, to stabilize it. Then you will come to realize later on, after you have the ability to stabilize it, that the two are so near. Very fast, the mundane mind surfaces. And you are not aware, not mindful, without the stability of wisdom, born of this direct seeing and awakening, you are very quickly lost in thought. Your thinking, your thought process will proliferate. That's why when you meditate, you're just silent, develop awareness. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't even try to know. And sometimes aware, the thought will tell you what that thing is. So aware, perceive, finish. Don't let it continue to think. You're supposed to stabilize this, to understand this. That's why I maintain awareness. Initially, it's at the tactile consciousness, your heartbeat or whatever. Or before that, most people is at the object of meditation. With the object of meditation, you can anchor your awareness there. So your awareness every time moves from there. When you are not aware, it runs out. Then you bring it back to be aware. But later on, when you can stabilize it, even your anapanasati breathing awareness, it will drop to your mind base. Whatever object of meditation you do, it will finally drop back to your mind base. Then your mind has entered sati. When it becomes so quiet, so still, so tranquil, then the mind has no movement at all, no activity at all. Then it will realize its true mind, the silent mind. Then this silent mind, if you stay there long enough, it will enter sati and develop pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, without thought. Yeah. Then that one is very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it is aware. Then you can go to your heartbeat. Or it will drop, the awareness will drop to your heartbeat. Because that is where the life force comes. Then it can be aware then. Initially, like very close. Very close. Yeah. But it will slow down. Slow down. As you develop the awareness, as you continue to relax, maintain aware, don't try to do it. Then that pounding of the heart slow down. Until it becomes required, it's still. Until that one also no more. Yeah. Then you find out for yourself, who are you? What are you? Without doubt. Then wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very sensitive. That's why this mind that has entered sati, when you come out of the meditation, it will maintain the awareness. That's why your daily mindfulness becomes very stable. That everything you do, your movement, your activity, the awareness and the kaya move as one. Then you realize, suddenly you have no thought. Everything has already merged into your awareness. Then you can see the specific phenomenal awareness of all things. In your seeing is in sati. Your hearing is in sati. Your smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, all in sati. You can realize that. I sadhu you means you already guaranteed awakening. You can see that you are very near to enlightenment and you can understand a lot of things. Technically, you don't need a teacher after that. I use the word technically. Means you can find out for yourself, you can awaken and understand many things for yourself. But without a teacher, it may take you a longer time to stabilize all this and understand all this. But if you have a good teacher who has control, they can give you a lot of pointers to lead you further. Then there are many more steps to develop clear understanding. Yeah. But this mind entering sati is very important. Unless you can do that, your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. Technically, you can't. Because when you are not in a formal meditation, your senses are fully engaged, especially when you revert back to your daily life. When you are not at the meditation center or a tranquil way place, okay, where the conditions are very conducive for you to cultivate, to train your mind. So when you return to society, when you return to your career environment, to normal daily life. To maintain that daily mindfulness is not easy. Unless you have a good religious routine, continue with your daily mindfulness training. Everything you do aware, mindful awareness, until it is a part of you. That mindfulness is a part of you. Means the mindfulness has become a part of your true nature. You are always aware, means constantly aware, ever mindful. Then you can use that stability of mindfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. Then you are destined for enlightenment. That's what cultivation is all about. So daily mindfulness is very important. Okay? Then I will move on. So verse 73, self-nature and the mundane mind. This one I have covered. You cannot understand what this thing is. Means it's in the meditation, you cannot realize this. Then you will not be able to understand the difference between mundane mind and the self nature. The mundane mind is the thinking mind. And this one is what the Buddha referred to as mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So this one is subject to karma. That's why when you are not mindful, when you don't train this mind, when you are not heedful, then you will act, speak, and think with a deluded mind that has the evil result of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart, based on Dhammapada verse 1. So this aspect can only be understood when you understand the two aspects of mind, that self-nature and that mundane mind that surface from that self-nature. So when it surface, if you don't have the right understanding, the right view, it has not trained itself to be heedful, then it will lead to suffering following the Dhammapada verse 1. But if you see the importance of this mundane mind, as per the Buddha's realization under his five daily contemplation, the fifth one, he said, we are all living beings, born of all karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing that karma is so important, and this mundane mind need to be trained to take care of karma, then we know what to do. If we love ourselves, if we love our life, if we want to have the good life, then we have to take care of karma. And to take care of karma, we have to train this mind. Train it to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware, so that it will act, speak, and think with a pure mind, a wholesome mind, that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. So this is how Dhammapada verse 2 take its course. This is how you can transform yourself character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. This is how the good, noble life or wholesome life can come about. Otherwise, suffering will follow you. Following Dhammapada verse 1. Under Dhammapada verse 2, you become heedful, you become aware. Then happiness, joy will always follow you, like a shadow that never leaves you. So verse 2 is very important. So each and every one of us, we hold our own life destiny, the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely our choice. So choose wisely. Like Dhammapada verse 22, knowing the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise one will intend on heedfulness so that happiness will follow them, like the shadow that never leaves them. So this is how you will develop the understanding to train yourself to be heedful. That is also the reason why before the Buddha passed away, he reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadeda sampadeda. He just says, strive on with heedfulness and you are home. No need to do anything else. So heedfulness is very important. So this understanding is very important. Yeah, I know. So now I will move on to verse 74 and 75, then you will understand what it means. I have actually explained earlier on. So verse 74, the user of thought is very important. Without wisdom connected to the form and mind, the mundane mind, is ego, is self-delusion. If the user of thought is deluded, then thought becomes wrong thought. That's how it leads to karmic negativity and your suffering and misery in life. Then verse 75 is the opposite. Life destiny. You hold the key to your own life destiny, like I explained just now. To be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. Therefore, it is very important for you to choose wisely, choose to be happy following Dhammapada verse 2, and train your mind to be heedful to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Then we move on to verse 76. To meditate is not to create more thought. Huh? By now, this is very clear to you. Huh? To meditate is not to create more thought. Instead, you need sati, the silent mind, to see the essential Dhamma, to understand who you are and how you function as a human being, and to understand clearly the 12 link of Paticchasamuppada link, means the law of dependent origination. So meditation is the reverse of what people used to think, because they thought to meditate, you need a meditator, not realizing that the meditator is always the thought, the mundane mind. So they always use the mundane mind, which is the thought, to read the sutta. Then they come up with method and technique or object of meditation to meditate. And who meditate? The thought meditate. So when the thought is active, it creates more thinking, more verbalization. It's not meditation at all. That's why when you understand, you know, to meditate is not to create more thought. The thought being an instrument, we can never realize a state of enlightenment which is beyond thought. So how can you continue to use thought to meditate? You will not be able to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So that understanding is very important. But what has been taught, I mean the standard teaching of the earlier tradition, is almost 90% thought-based. They may use the word vipassana, they may use the word sati, mindfulness, but basically it's thought-based. So what do? They come up with method, technique, and object of meditation. They ask you to note this, note that, focus on this, focus on that. Then develop one-pointedness, energy field, everything. Then try to look for the essential Dhamma to realize the three universal characteristics. Then look for jnana and jhana. So all this is thought-based. The thought looking for all this mind state based on what? Knowledge. Dhamma knowledge. And this is not meditation. Meditation is the silent mind that can realize the awakening which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you have to train your mind to be aware first. Relax, maintain awareness, and let the thought cease. That is the beginning of meditation. But what they are doing is the opposite, creating more and more thought. That's why, that's the reason why most of this doesn't lead you anywhere. And sad to say, you are wasting your time, you cannot understand this. So hopefully that can give you a lot of wisdom and understanding. Then we move on to verse 77. The first tooling of Paticchasamuppada is avijja paccaya sankhara. Therefore, when you think a lot, it means you have ignorance, you lack wisdom, and you are heedless. That's why thought-based meditation is a reflection of avijja. Then how can you meditate? The instrument itself limits you. Instead, the enlightened one only think when they need to, or else they are most of the time silent and just aware within, with specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. This is an enlightened being. Unless he is enlightened, he cannot have this type of mind state. And this is what heedfulness is all about. Ever mindful, constantly meditating. So this is a very important understanding. Avijja paccaya sankhara. The sign of progress is very simple. If you have more and more sankhara, it means you are not developing the meditation correctly. Because as you progress, what will happen? You would have more and more right view, isn't it? You will have straightened your view more and more, isn't it? Less and less ignorant, isn't it? Or security or avijja. So when avijja is being weakened or attenuated, what happened to sankhara? You have less and less sankhara, less and less thinking or stirring of the mind, less and less duality. That's why you need initial wisdom for this to happen. Then you realize sankhara become less and less. Then you stir your mind much less. That's why you can have more moments of silence, more space between thought. Then you are able to develop more and more moment of sati, silence, to stabilize the daily mindfulness. Otherwise, this stability of daily mindfulness, step 4, cannot arise. Step 5, sorry, cannot arise. So all this becomes very clear. Then I move on. Unique quote number 78. For your meditative mind to be stable, you need to have the initial wisdom, the 5 spiritual faculty, and the daily mindfulness properly developed. So by now, this verse 78, you can understand. But the meaning is very deep. To understand this, you must have already gone through that cultivation. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So I read again, then I will emphasize to you so that you understand. So for your meditative mind, which is your true mind, silent mind, to be stable, means to really realize it, what do you need? Initial wisdom. How do you develop it? This is Yoniso Manasikara. Step 2, constantly listening to the Dhamma to straighten your view. Means Sutamaya Panya, first turning wisdom. Then reflect, contemplate, inquire deep into it to understand it deeper, to develop the second turning wisdom, which is Chintamaya Panya. Then after you straighten your view, your mind will not stir like before. Then you move on to the next requirement. Apart from the initial wisdom, you need the 5 spiritual faculty cultivated. This is to overcome your 5 mental hindrances. That's why stabilize your 5 spiritual faculty until it becomes unshakable. And this one is very easy to do. When you do your religious routine, when you do your puja, your devotional practice, your chanting, you will develop the faith, because all of your chanting, the Buddha will ask you to pay respect, then chant the salutation. This will develop the merits, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then take refuge. Then renew your precept. Then make offering. Then meditate. Then listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, develop the 10 meritorious action. So all this will actually help you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you can invoke power of merits to avoid the foolish or the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one until enlightenment in the here and the now is realized soon as possible. So all this will be the training that the Buddha has actually guided us to enable us to progress smoothly along the path of Dhamma. Then when you do that religious routine, that puja and all those things, then your whatever the Dhamma sharing activity, like what we do, our Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, and sometimes monthly house dana and all those things, spiritual trip. All this will strengthen your faith, leading to virya, spiritual zeal. Then it will drive you to cultivate sati. Then you follow the Avijja Sutta, step 1, step 2, leading to step 3 and 4. Then the initial wisdom is developed. Then after that, the daily mindfulness is developed. When your daily mindfulness is developed and stabilized, the third spiritual faculty, sati, is developed. Then you relax into it, stabilize it. It will realize sati leading to samadhi, the fourth spiritual faculty. Then with sati, Vasati and Samadhi, you can see things as they are and awaken. That's how wisdom comes to be, Panya. When the five spiritual faculties fall into place and become very stable, it becomes unshakable. Means you are at least a sotapan. Right? So when it becomes unshakable, your five mental hindrance cannot arise, can never arise because of that spiritual faculty. The spiritual faculty has become powers, balas. Not until you develop, until that phase is not stable enough, then the mental hindrance can still arise off and on. But once it's stabilized, become powers, bala, then it can never arise anymore. It's unshakable. Then the meditative mind is always with you. You are always in sati, ever mindful, constantly meditating. You are always heedful. That is the training that you have to develop. Without that, you don't stand a chance. And I mean it, you don't stand a chance. Without the stability of daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom developed, you don't stand a chance. That's why step 4 and step 5 is very important. Then once you develop step 4 and step 5 or Avijja Sutta, the step 6 and 7 is a natural consequence. Means sense restraint automatic. Once you can maintain sense restraint, you can keep your precept. Means you are at least a sotapan. Sotapana, in first stage of sainthood. Here you cannot break your precept anymore. Then with that sense restraint, you can move on to step 7, which is to arise the three way of right conduct. Means right thought, right speech, right action. Means by then, you would have completed your cultivation of the four right effort. Following Noble Eightfold Path, from right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood with the help of the four right effort. Okay. Then after that, you will have the embodiment of right thought, right speech, and right action. It's the way you conduct yourself, the way you communicate with people, the way you act. You are very noble in all aspects following Noble Eightfold Path. It's you have the wisdom factor developed, right view. Then it will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And it will lead to the four right effort being perfected. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. And when you have this embodiment of the first six path factor, you are at least a Sakadagami. Okay. That's Noble Eightfold Path, factors 7 and 8 is Samasati and Samasamadhi. So that is for you to develop the four foundation of mindfulness leading to step 8. So all this will become very clear. And when you are doing the four foundation of mindfulness with that understanding of the first 7 steps, you will progress very fast. Then you will witness the arising of the 7 factors of enlightenment. Means you know you are on the right path. Then there is joy, there is faith, there is confidence. Then the natural consequence is step 10, enlightenment in the here and the now. So enlightenment in the here and the now is the final outcome of your training. So that is liberation. That is the realization of Nibbana leading to Arahantship. So this is how cultivation is to be developed. Okay? And we move on. So I have covered 78. I read again. For your meditative mind to be stable, you need to have an initial wisdom, which I covered, the five spiritual faculty, which I covered, and the daily mindfulness properly developed. I have also covered. So these three is very important. If you don't develop this tree, it's not easy to stabilize the meditative mind. It's not easy to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedful throughout the day. Then verse 79. When you walk this path of Dhamma, you develop wisdom leading to virtue naturally. Without wisdom, there is no genuine virtue. By then, you will understand this. Because without wisdom, your virtue is not the real one. Mm-hmm. You may talk about loving kindness, metta. You may talk about karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, upekkha. And other type of virtuous mind state, like sincerity, kindness, gratitude, and all those things. Without the wisdom behind, they are not the genuine one. They are a form of virtue, but not the one that is free of greed, hatred, and delusion. Wrong view. Yeah, there is still a discriminating mind behind. Because virtue according to the individual. But true virtue, born of wisdom, is the real one. Because the one with wisdom, no egoic mind, no evil root, no discrimination, nothing. Like metta means metta, universal love. Whereas the mundane one, metta, when things don't go their way, they turn negative, become hatred, envy, jealousy. So that type of virtue is not the real one. It's a conditioning. It's discriminative. When things go your way, you love. When things don't go your way, love fly out of the window. So these are the understanding. So we stop here because it's already 4:12. So we will stop here for Q&A. If you got any question that you want to ask or clarify, you can. So we will open up. Anybody who has any question, you can wait or show your hand or just release your speaker phone and come in. Or if you want, you can type it in also. It's up to you. Okay, well, I have a dream. Anybody? Jayanta, you want to say something? Yeah, Jayanta, yes.
I started my bowing. Could you mention the mind and body bow as one?
Yes, in perfect harmony and synchrony. Initially, don't try to know. Just do until one day, your own form and mind will know. Because when that thing happens, suddenly your nature will realize, hey, what is this? Then you know what sati is. Because the form and mind that experience that thing is without word. It understands. Then it can use word to describe. So just do, patiently do until it comes. Has it happened?
Yes,
very good.
There are times when a thought comes. There's a time where I like to ask Baratio, what is your advice when a thought comes?
Don't worry about the thought. Don't try to know.
Continue
to bow until the stability of mindfulness really arises. Then when sati arises, like you say, the form and mind will know, you know what it is. But the problem with most cultivators is they want to know, what is this? They are very excited. They thought this is a sign of something, achievement or fantastic realization or what. No, this is just the beginning of real meditation, understand? You need to stabilize this bowing until it becomes a part of you. Then after that, you don't believe me, you find out for yourself, you don't try to know. When you stop bowing, when you move your body, you realize that mind has entered sati. But it will not last long because your daily mindfulness is not stable yet. So when you start to know that few moments or minutes, you will realize your body and mind move as one. Then the thought no more. Then when you stand up also same, the body and the awareness as one. Then you walk also same. Then that time you become like very amazed and a lot of joy. At that time you can have joy because your daily mindfulness is coming. Then continue to be mindful. Don't try to know. Then everything you do, when you stretch out your hand, just the awareness, know it. Then when you bring your eye away, finish. Don't try to know anymore. Don't go and relate it to Dhamma. This is anicchang. This is kaya nupasa. Forget about it. The understanding will come by itself. You will understand it by yourself. Always real. Just do. Don't try to know. When sati arise, your form and mind will know. Just like the Buddha say, this Dhamma is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So pachetang, veditapu, vinohiti is very important. Only that form and mind, the wise one who has had that one, can understand what that Dhamma is. It's like this Dhamma cannot be understood by those who have not awakened. They will tell you a lot of theory, a lot of knowledge. But the one that has awakened will tell you the real one. Because that one is not in the book. Seldom you see people explain to you that way. So just do. I rejoice. You can be aware and mindful through your bowing. That is very good. Yeah, that's how it benefited me about 30 years ago too. I was doing the bowing too. Then it tied out with my daily mindfulness after that. Within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came, the stability of it. Then I maintained my daily religious routine that time. Throughout the day, I'm in the meditative state. Throughout the day, heedful, cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Maintain mindfulness. The mindfulness is continuous. Continuous. I don't try to like maintain or like sense you want to be ever mindful. No. The mindfulness is natural. It comes by itself. Then it stabilizes by itself. Then it understands what this thing is. Because everything you do, the sati is there. Then initially I remember when the mundane mind is there, because this mundane mind is very gross, it's very easy to become mindful. Very easy. But once your mundane mind collapses, this one is for people who want to progress further later on. That supra mundane mind is so fine, like no mind inside there. Then that time, like, very difficult to maintain mindfulness. But if you have the understanding, you will realize your nature is already with you. Well, when the mundane mind collapses, that true mind, that true nature shine forth. And you are constantly in that state. So you don't have to maintain anything already. Like the Buddha say, you are beyond training already. So why do you want to maintain that thing? No need. Once the mundane mind has collapsed, there is no more training. But you will understand all this. You will, the individual will go through all this. That's why I said there's a lot more to the cultivation. To the training. Very good. Sadhu to you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's another Kayamita who want to ask. We'll go to that one. Singing. Yeah. Okay. Singing, can you unmute and come in?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you already.
Okay, I was wondering, my phone did something weird.
My question
is similar to Jayanta's question.
Okay,
so I restarted my meditation, right? After I took a break.
Yes.
And then it has now evolved.
Oh, sadhu.
And I don't know what to do. Last time, remember, you breathe and then you feel the heartbeat and then the heartbeat goes, breathing goes.
Yeah.
Then now I don't need to focus very much. I go straight to the heart.
Very good, sadhu.
But then now I see the heartbeat, I can actually feel the muscle moving.
Yes, you will start to become more and more sensitive. means that heartbeat, if you continue to relax and silent, it will slow down. The pounding will slow down, slow down, slow down until like very little or no more. Then suddenly you will be able to realize a state which is completely still, without thought, nothing, without activity, without movement. Even the heartbeat also like no more. The mundane mind completely no more. There is no more even that awareness of that heartbeat also no more. Everything gone. Then it's very good. Then sadhuyo. Then let the mind enter sati. The mind will enter sati. Then after that, you will be very sensitive. Wherever you locate your mind, it is very sensitive. You will know what is happening in your body. You go to your forehead, you will know which part of your brain do what, or you will know. Then the sense experience, how you respond, and what is responsible for that sense experience arising. You will also understand. This is direct from the silent mind. The silent mind itself will understand. But you are not developed until that type of stage. You can never understand. But what I describe are words. That's why it arise through that silent mind. That silent mind must be developed until it's very stable. You have done well. Adieu to you. Huh? See? So continue to relax, maintain awareness. Initially, stay at the heart. Now you no need to focus. It will go to the heart automatically. And you can detect it without the stethoscope, without anything. It will just be there. Because you already have the ability to be aware, which is very good. So just relax, maintain awareness, silent, until it's stabilized. Then wait for the mind to enter sati. When mind enters sati, all your movement, all your action, even when you are in the lying down posture or sitting posture, any slightest movement or activity, the awareness will pick it up by itself. Then you realize whatever you do throughout the day become different already. The awareness is always there. So when you are aware, you cannot think. That's the reason why sankhara become less and less, less and less. Then there are more and more moments of silence, awareness, awareness, just awareness. Then you realize most of the time you are just aware. Then the mind become different, clarity. Then you understand many things by yourself. Then when you listen to my sharing, you will understand. You will develop the clear understanding because you have already experienced that type of silent mind. The progress. Sadhu to you, very good. So just maintain the ability to be silent, stabilize that silent mind. Then let it enter sati and you will develop good progress from there on. Sadhu to you. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sadhu. I rejoice. Manager rejoice. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's the time? We still got 7 more minutes. Anybody else who have any question or you want to share anything or describe anything or make clear anything that you are still not able to understand? Nobody. Anybody? I saw Chi Wei smile.
Brother Teo.
Chi Wei, yes.
Thank you so much for your sharing, especially your personal experience. Arriving at that tranquility, the peace,
The stillness.
Don't need to do anything.
Just aware to understand.
That's very good. And how you progress.
And you will progress very fast. Wonderful.
Sadhu, thank you very much.
Sadhu. Thank you for your good feedback. Sadhu.
Right.
Anybody else? That's why this type of meditation is awareness based, not thought based. So awareness based, you just relax and maintain awareness. Let the mundane mind slow down. Then let it cease. No need to do anything. Then develop wisdom through constantly listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, understand the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, clearly. Then through understanding, the Dhamma unfold. And you transform. You become beautiful. Then you start to develop more and more moments of heedfulness. When heedfulness really comes to be, you progress very fast. You become very deep. You look at singing. She has not been around for the last 4 years. She went to Copenhagen after she learned the earliest. Then now, he got the chance to link back. Actually, within this 1 month plus or so sharing, she decided to go back into the cultivation because of the website. And she connect back and progress so fast. And able to do it. It's not difficult, like I said. So once you have the faith, the sadha area, then you just do, cultivate. Yeah. Like Jayanta, if he continues to develop the ability to be mindful through the bowing, then continue this process into a daily religious routine until the mind enters sati, he will progress very fast too. Then he will know what that sati is. It's just body and mind as one without thought. Everything you do is like your awareness is one with the specific phenomena. It can be your kaya or your feeling or your mental activity or nature's phenomena or any of your mental phenomena. So you can anchor it onto the four foundation of mindfulness. Even the last foundation is Dhamma. Dhamma is truth. The essential Dhamma, the fundamental truth. That's why when you listen to Dhamma, conduct the inquiry, that is Dhammanupassana. You are developing the training, the three turning of the fundamental truth, the last category of the cultivation. So that itself is Dhammanupassana. So when you listen attentively and maintain mindfulness on the Dhamma, that is the foundation. The first foundation is very important. When you can anchor to your kaya, means most of the time you are aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. Always remember that. That's like kaya nupassana is to anchor your mindfulness there so that you become heedful. You do not think anymore. That is very important. Then after that, only you can have the sensitivity to go into the second foundation, which is feeling. Otherwise, it's all thought-based. You recall through memory. You say, oh, like the Buddha say, I had this feeling. Then there is pleasant and unpleasant feeling. But you don't understand what the pleasant and unpleasant feeling is for. The Buddha say, when feeling arises, aware. When feeling has changed and become unpleasant feeling, also aware. Or it has become pleasant feeling, also aware. Aware means what? Means you are aware that the pure feeling has transformed and changed to pleasant and unpleasant feeling. And what is pleasant and unpleasant feeling? These are the first two mental hindrances. Means you have created mental hindrance without you realizing it. That's why the teaching is very different. So when you are aware that the mental hindrance is there, then why you going to label it? Why you going to create it? You should use the third way that the Buddha teach, maintain awareness. Then see how it sees. Then when you maintain awareness, you can trace the origination factor. See how the unpleasant feeling arises. Then how they cease to be. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, is very clearly mentioned there. Finally, through this third way and the fourth way, mindfulness of the Dhamma, the first category is the five mental hindrances, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance arise. It can be sensual desire, ill will, or whatever. Then after you maintain awareness, you don't do anything, then it cease. Then you come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. That's how you develop it. Then through this, you reflect, contemplate, and retrospectively reverse it. Then you will come to know how in the future, this mental hindrance can never arise anymore. That's how you develop the training. And it's mentioned in the sutta, all this, but people don't understand. They don't know what this thing is. Authority. Anymore. If no more, then we can stop. Okay? No more. Okay. So we will do the sharing of merits. Then, after that, we will power merits for blessing for the nation. And also, making your own aspiration. Akka satta chilvamata devanaga mahindika vinyang tang anuoditwa chirang rakan tuloka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu tapasampatis dia idang menya tinang hotu Sukita Hantiyatayo Idam Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hantiyatayo Idam Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hantiyatayo Deo Satukarena Sasa Sampadili Pocha Ito Bawatu Pocha Aja Bawatu Pemiko Ina Punya Tamina Mame bala smano, satang smano otu, umwa ilana patia, sadu, sadu, sadu.